This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at BestWestern.com.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
Welcome to the Range Podcast. I'm Ricky Brule, and with me is Jake Hollywood Iverson. Join us at the Archery Range, where we'll tell stories from the hunt, discuss technical bow shooting tactics and gear, and pick the brains of some of the most successful people to ever shoot a bow. Whether you're about to shoot that X for the win or send an arrow at a trophy buck, this podcast is for you. Range Podcast is brought to you by Vapor Trail Archery, makers of the best bowstrings money can buy, originators of limb-driven arrow rest technology, and innovators of stokerized stabilizer systems.
Welcome to the Range, everybody. I'm your host, Ricky Brule, and I'm here with my co-host, Jake Hollywood Iverson.
That's me.
How's it going, man?
I'm back. Still kind of waking up, I think, from hunting this morning.
Yeah.
I think this is my final bow.
The final bow. You got one more opportunity tomorrow. Come on.
I don't know. Yeah, it is private land, so it might be better. The public, I think, I don't know. I didn't ruin nothing. I think it was ruined before I ever got there.
Late season's tough, man.
Yeah, I mean.
I'll give you that.
They're quiet right now. Mm-hmm. So, and waking up at, you know, this morning was only 3:30, but. I mean, this late in the year, it's like tomorrow might be 2:30. Mm-hmm. So that'll be tough. I don't know. Public, if I have to go public land, it won't happen the next 2 days. So,
well, this is the final week in Minnesota. You know, I know you've been talking about having an opportunity to go out one more time tomorrow. And before we started recording, you said you didn't think you're going to go. And so here in front of the entire range audience, I'm going to try to keep you held accountable in some shape or form and say you better get out there tomorrow morning.
I'll think about it.
Those early mornings, man, I get it. Those early mornings,
well, especially, they get old. Like, nothing against Charles. I mean, especially going out with him. Like, that one I don't want to miss the alarm for.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, that's good.
If I'm hunting with someone, I'm going to be there. But if it's without,
yeah,
I might miss an alarm.
Yeah. See, it shows you have integrity. And then, so if you send in the message and say, I'll be there, man, then it's on. There's nothing, you can't talk. There's no talking yourself out of it.
No, I can't do it. I can't I can't walk backwards on my words. So, yeah. man, I just got to know where we're going, I guess, because he's got another spot that we could go to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious if he's been out, because he's had this last week off. And I think him and his son were going to go and hunt, like, most of the week to try and get him on one.
Mm.
So I haven't heard nothing from them. And I guess the smart thing would be to keep eyes, at least in my eyes anyway, I would keep tabs on that property.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm still going to go back, and hopefully he has, because if he hasn't, it's like, oh man, this might be a crapshoot again. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can always stop by my place in the morning, grab that Silhouette decoy and try to put a stock on one.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I was just going to say, like, even the public land I was keeping eyes on, you know, going to Menards the last 50 times over the weekend. And, dude, every single time I went by, there was birds all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, close. I mean, they're still on private land, but so they're active, but all huddled up on private land that's inaccessible. So
I didn't tell you about this, but Emma and I were out hiking and training for the Seven Peaks that I got coming up this weekend, and we literally walked within 10 feet of a Jake.
Dude.
Like, he was just scratching at the ground at the bottom of the hill. We're up at Highland.
Mm-hmm.
And old Mount Gilboa. I think that's how you say it anyway. But we got to the bottom, and he kept looking up at us, but then just kept going. And literally got within 10 feet till finally he was like, yeah, right, I'm going to bail.
Yesterday, Katie sent me a video. She's working in Minneapolis, and there's a bird standing, staring at one of the buildings. I'm like, dude, downtown Minneapolis. Okay. Like, I can't have any worse luck. But again, I didn't even really have that close of opportunities this whole year on actually anything. Public and private, because the private land opportunities I did have with Charles, we haven't had anything come in at all.
Mm-hmm.
not to discredit him, it's just I think that's just kind of been how it goes. You set up over here, they're on that side. You set up on this side, they go to that side. So, you know, we've been within earshot, but I have not had any in very close distance. That's not a hen anyway. And I feel that, you know, there's a couple of those public spots, they were getting hit hard right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of the other public spots I've talked to Luke about, he's like, yeah, you know, there's a guy that went there opening day and he shot one. I'm like, oh, that's great. And then I show up to another, you know, back pocket public spot and there's feathers in the parking lot. I'm like, just late to the punch, I think. Timing. A lot of time this year, so.
Timing was not on your side. Yeah, no. And being a homeowner now, and that's that's what you were alluding to, being to Menards multiple times.
Yeah. Like, I think it's been four times out of the last 6 days, back and forth. And I have to go there again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
For all of our listeners who are all over the place and all over the world, Menards is like a hardware, like a Fleet Farm, Home Depot kind of situation. So, but anyway, so in case y'all hadn't figured out, this is kind of our turkey season wrap up. And I promise we won't discuss turkeys anymore this season unless Hollywood goes out tomorrow and seals the deal.
Yeah, we'll do it.
So
we have
also in this episode, we are going to touch a little bit on our upcoming seasons, what we're going to be doing during the off season as far as shooting our bows and getting out and practicing and doing that kind of stuff. And then we are also going to discuss the tags that we either did or did not draw this year.
And I am more on the not.
And so we'll dive a little bit into that. But yeah, so we already kind of went through the turkey wrap-up section a little bit. Yeah. I mean, hopefully you get out tomorrow and you get your one last crack at it. And if you don't, that's okay. I'm happy that you'll get a little extra sleep.
Yeah. I mean, if I don't tomorrow, I mean, I know I definitely will Friday, and hey, weekend's already here, and then back to house projects.
So, yeah. Mowing the grass, you know, moving sprinkler heads around.
Yeah, that's going to be a disaster. So if I go out tomorrow, am I going to use a special new broadhead?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a well sought after item. Mm-hmm. We were told that they are going to be next to impossible to get for quite some time, and they popped up, and yes, here they are. They showed up at our door. And why don't you go ahead and tell the folks what they can't see?
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, you cut me out there. I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
For those of you on YouTube, you'll be able to see, but we'll have to explain this to our listeners.
So, yeah, we just received in the new G5 Outdoors T2 Broadhead, and this is their expandable broadhead that they collabed with Mr. John Dudley with mm-hmm. Knock On Archery.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I believe you said already, extremely sought after.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are wanting them. And it's quite the head and extremely sharp. When I popped these suckers open this morning, I grabbed this one that's already, pre-deployed just for display, and
mm-hmm.
that thing like almost already grabbed my thumb, and I've already torn up my thumb before from Grim Reaper. But it's kind of a neat idea. Locking it is really easy, actually, on the first go around. It's kind of like there's a metal piece in the middle that kind of acts like almost like a springboard by the looks of it, and it just kind of snaps into that. And then the second blade gets a little bit tougher. And for me, I say it's tougher because now, ever since a couple years ago, I think I'm coming up on 3 years ago, I basically took the tip of my thumb off with one of the Grim Reaper blades, and broadheads make me a little sweaty now. So how was your experience snapping that in?
It's not too bad if you come at it from the back end.
Exactly. If you use just
push it in,
kind of that point and the ferrule and pull on that back end of the blade, it goes pretty good. And they don't, like, you won't need a shock collar or whatever, like what Rage used to use mm-hmm. to keep those things locked in there. It's pretty stout.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll definitely open.
Yeah, it looks pretty deadly. And this is, you said this is a collaboration with G5 Outdoors and John Dudley.
Correct. Yep. And it's 100% all steel construction. And then, it's extremely strong. And then that tip on there, it's built in with the ferrule, so you don't have like two different pieces, like, again, what Dudley used to have with the Rage stuff. I know, I think it's the Tri-Pans. They kind of went away from that. There's so many different versions of Rage, and no offense to our listeners that use Rage, but I don't really keep up with Rage. So,
I just saw Jeff Helm posted a video of the, Axis. I think it was an Axis deer they shot in Texas with it. And just absolutely did a number on it, and
I'm sure it tore it right in half.
Yeah. So
this has I don't know if I just said that, but it's 2-inch total cutting diameter.
Yeah.
But if you guys have seen some of the videos, those of you listening, videos from Dudley, and he's posting a lot of them,
famously leaked it way too early.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And, I mean, it's tearing these animals apart, which ultimately is what you want, is blood loss
mm-hmm.
In the sport of archery. So
yeah,
it looks pretty sweet. I'll shoot an expandable, but I'm not the biggest fan of two blade expandables anymore, but I will try this.
Yeah, you should.
I will definitely try this.
I'd love to see what that does to a turkey.
Well, okay, you're not gonna stop on the turkeys, are you?
Well, you got a couple more chances here, bud. So,
yeah, I'm just trying to pull, something out of the bag. Like, where have I not been? Where is going to be untouched? And man, at this point, I feel like every person in Minnesota turkey hunts. So,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I don't think, I have no doubts this would slock a turkey pretty good. And mm-hmm. John already did it once, but it'd be interesting to find out. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about the two blade, expandable broadheads is just, it's pretty easy to tune.
Mm-hmm.
There's no tuning.
Yeah.
It basically just flies as straight as it could.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it easy. Don't have to worry about tuning at all.
Yeah.
throw it on and go.
Well, I look forward to seeing what that can do.
On a turkey.
On anything at this point, but yes, mainly a turkey. So, yeah, dude, that's awesome. That was really cool. Thanks. Shout out to Brian Anderson at G5 for sending us a pack of those to mess around with and yeah. check out. And,
it's huge.
Yeah. So moving on to tags for the season, what states and what species did you apply for this year?
Undisclosed. I just got confirmation today. I got my point for mule deer in Colorado. Mm. And then
did you just apply for a point or did you actually apply?
Yeah.
For
yeah. There's, I don't know, after last, I guess couple of years, I just, something in me just said not this year for out West. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is just our, you know, our busy season here at Vapor Trail just kind of runs right into it. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm worried about the company running without me here. It's just like my mind isn't fully escaped. And it's also kind of hard to get time off anyway, because you're trying to hunt, the next guy's trying to hunt, the next guy's trying to hunt, you know, mm-hmm. we're in the industry. So it's just, all of us are trying to do the same thing at the exact same time when we also have the most amount of orders during any part of the year. So, yeah. So that, you know, that's one factor in it. And then, yeah, again, last year I went to South Dakota and population is just so, so low. At least where I was, I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll give everything, you know, a break. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, no offense to anyone that did draw and is going out to some of these states, like hopefully they don't tag out on everything. Mm-hmm. So there's some left over and then the population can regrow. But I don't know how the Western states, I think their winter was a little bit easier, just like ours was. Cause the previous year, that's what, you know, when I was talking to Matt, he said Utah had a ton of winter kill. So last year, I don't think he even harvested a mule deer, because it was so bad. So, and I think that was his first one in years.
I can say he's usually just hammering on them.
He might have shot one and I just missed it, but maybe he did. But, yeah, I just figured I'm one less person in the mix that's potentially, you know, taking up deer that could produce again. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. Crazy thinking. I know a lot of guys are like, F that.
It's unheard of, man.
But, yeah, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. I think COVID really tossed a lot of people into the mix. Mm-hmm. So it's just like now you can look at the application numbers. Like there's a big spike from the COVID years. Like it was consistently average, like lower numbers. And then yeah. ever since 2021 or whatever, it's just been like, whoa.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's pretty crazy, you know, to think about how, you know, the opportunities, they're just fewer.
Yeah.
You know, and even like to look back statistically at like North Dakota, for example, you know, they post all of their, you know, stats and whatnot. And we have a mutual friend that had 4 points mm-hmm. in North Dakota yeah. and didn't draw.
Yeah. I think he's the only guy or maybe one of two.
He's got, yeah, like unreal.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how many people applied, you know, usually I think last year was over 2000 and then the year before I think was like 1800 or something like that. So it's definitely increasing pretty significantly. Yeah. And then, so definitely getting harder for people to draw and the numbers are declining as well. So it's just like,
yeah,
kind of scary to think yeah. of what it's going to be like in two the next 10 years.
Intersecting. And I guess my other thought is just like, to your point, what happens in the next 10 years? I'm like, maybe if I just hold off, I can put myself in a better position to get a really good spot,
yep.
really good tag, and be able to afford it because I can take 4 years to build up the money mm-hmm. on top of my 2 or 3 years of points. I think 3 now for Colorado. Then I can pay for the taxidermy too. mm-hmm. It's my other thought because it's right. like that's the afterthought I feel like for everyone. It's like, at least for me, like sure, for, you know, if it's an average mule deer, I can do a euro mount myself, mm-hmm. but like if it's something cool or something cool happens mm-hmm. with it, it's like, dude, I'm definitely getting a shoulder mount. Well, our boy Chris Wallace is gonna ask for that money,
yeah,
pretty quick. So, oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, $800 is not a drop in the bucket after you just spent. I just saw a meme. It's like Do you want to spend $3,000 a week in the woods eating freeze-dried meals away from the wife and then come back with nothing or something?
Yeah.
I'm like, exactly. Yeah. So you drop a bunch of money and, you know, all this time traveling. It's like, then you come back potentially with a deer that you want to mount. It's like, $800 or whatever your taxidermist charges. That's tough.
Yeah, and don't forget being constipated for like the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
those freeze-dried meals, man, they will back you up.
Yeah, exactly. I shared it with Jeremiah, so yeah. Colorado, all points, elk, mule, and sheep, and then Montana, just a point is all I'll do. I wait for those. And maybe we can, if you want, cut this in or not. But for the listeners, if you want just points in Montana, you can wait instead of screwing with the whole lottery. You can just wait till, I want to say it's like middle of July or maybe it's August. If you just wait till after a certain time period, you can just purchase your point. And that's the way I do it. Because you're spending dollar after dollar after dollar after dollar just on points. And some of those states, like Wyoming, you have to pay up front.
Mm-hmm.
On top of all the other states that you're applying to and then get your refund.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wait. If you can wait, just do that. I mean, at least.
Well, yeah, if you just want the point, then.
Yeah.
Just...
And some people, one person here did not know that. I'm like, well, that's the way I rock it. So North Dakota, I did not draw, but I did put in for it, and no tag for me.
And you had 2 points or one?
I think it was point? Two. No, maybe it was one. I don't know.
You would have had one.
It was a small chance in, you know, small chance in hell. Mm-hmm. That I actually pulled that tag, but
yeah,
I didn't. Mm-hmm. So kind of expected, but mm-hmm. That would have been wild if I did.
Yeah.
Considering, you, how was your draw results?
So I drew finally, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I think I'm 3 points.
I think I'm more thrilled that you're going than I, like if I were to go.
Yeah. Like alone. Well, why is that?
Just cause like, just, you haven't been there for how many years has it been since you've been out at like 20, west, I guess, for mule deer.
2017, I think was the last time I went out there and hunted.
Yeah. That's why I'm so excited. I'm just like, dude, you get to put your boots back in a place you've been and
mm-hmm.
romp those grounds and see what's out there.
Yeah.
See how much that rock has changed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was trying to think, I was like, why did I stop applying? But it was because I was going to South Dakota for a few years there. But man, I can't even believe, I think the last mule deer I shot in South Dakota, I feel like it was 2015. Dude, are we almost going on a decade since I shot that deer? It feels like it was like 3 years ago.
Dude, I'm even more excited. I didn't know it was that long ago.
It's crazy.
Holy cow.
I'm pretty sure it was 2015. But, I mean, yeah, it's just, I'm super excited, super stoked to get back out there. And I'm going to be going out there with a future guest who will be on the podcast. His name is Nate Axman. We've known him for many, many years, a.k.a. Snack Boy. That goes all the way back to when Jared... kind of first, or when he had like first started Vapor Trail and they went bear hunting together and stuff. And so he, earned the nickname Snack Boy, which we will talk about in that episode down the road here, but
he's bear hunting right now too.
Oh, I'm sure he's a bear hunting fanatic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, super cool dude. Him and I have been trying to connect and go hunting together for the better part of a decade. So it's finally going to happen. And so we haven't had a chance to sit down and really discuss it too much just yet, but we'll get into the details with that. And I'm pretty sure we're going to be hunting some ground that I've never hunted before. So I'm really excited about that. And, I'll also have Damon tagging along. We're going to be making a film. So, hopefully we'll be, we've got some new products that are going to be coming out. So we'll be using some new products and we're going to be, creating a really epic film. Either way, so yeah, so, and then of course, lucky me, right? So I applied for a bear tag in Minnesota in case I didn't get the North Dakota tag. Mm-hmm. And I drew the bear tag too.
Yeah, which
so
is kind of hard. I mean, you're going to follow that up and say, well, maybe not, but for general purpose of a bear tag in Minnesota, it is now pretty hard to get.
Yeah, with only 2 points, but I am hunting a very remote part of the state that not a lot of people want to hunt.
Right.
There's plenty of bears up there, but there's like very specific restrictions and regulations, and you know, there's always that chance where you could, you know, you might be back really far, and you know, so I don't think that's like for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
I think most bear hunters want to hunt over a big load of bait and
yep.
shoot their bear and be able to get it out quick and all that kind of stuff. And so I don't think a lot of people really, really go for the challenge of being extremely remote and, yep. you know, having to hustle and get things taken care of and work hard.
You should bring me with on that one. I feel like I have a natural attraction for bears other than when I'm actually hunting them myself.
Well, then I probably wouldn't want to bring you with me.
You don't want to see a bear?
Well, if you just said if you're hunting, you never see them.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course you wouldn't be
hunting. I'm not the hunter, though. Yeah. I don't have the tag. If I have a tag for any species, they run away from me. But if I don't want to see them, they're right there every time.
Yeah.
Especially where you're going.
Well, luckily, in the state of Minnesota, if you opt, you can opt out and just get your point. Mm-hmm. And so at least I believe that's the case.
Yeah, and yeah, so, yeah, you don't have to draw your tag if you are drawn.
Yeah, so I'll probably take the point and then try to draw again next year.
Gotcha.
So then that way I can focus on North Dakota, and obviously my time is fairly limited. I only have so much time off, and you know, I got to cash in the tokens, you know, with the family and stuff. So I want to make the best of that hunt and not be too overwhelmed with, you know, trying to make both happen. So
I did that 2 years ago, plus a wedding in between.
Yeah,
that was stupid.
That's nuts. Yeah,
it's stupid.
It's fun to challenge yourself in those areas, but at the same time, you know, there's something just like you were saying, like trying to take a trip in the midst of the busy season here. You know what I mean? When you're like scrambling at the, you know, to try to get your stuff packed and get going, and you feel super unprepared, and there's a ton of anxiety surrounding that. And then, you know, so it's nice to be able to just kind of focus in one specific area and try to make it happen. So,
right. Smart.
Pretty excited for that.
Where else did you, send money to this year?
So I just did, I just applied for points in Colorado, which, you know, I guess I'm really, really lucky because that's 100% draw, but on yeah. points, but
yeah.
I did go in for moose and sheep. I just thought I'd give it a whirl this time, not really thinking about the fact that it's $100 per application. When I got the email saying that I was unsuccessful, but I was getting charged $100, I was like,
I wasn't ready for that.
But at the same time, I've been wanting to start that process.
Yeah. Next year.
And from what I understand, you know, you can do, you know, if you want to work for it, you can get some, you know, within 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Is that right? 3 or 4 years.
So next year sheep? I have to, after your third year, which this is my third year, you have to apply for a tag. So now I'm also kind of in that boat of like, yes, I'm building up points for, and that's kind of smart on Colorado's end, just so you don't have all these guys that are just strictly going to bank up until 15 years and then dump it. But that's, now I'm in this boat of like, man, I hate, but also love at the same time to draw like a sheep tag. The odds are insanely small and slim that you ever do that. But
right.
It's exciting to me knowing that, like, cool, I actually have to apply to a tag this year. I think, I'm not sure how elk works, but I know for sure for sheep, and then I'm not sure how mule deer work either. I'm just kind of like rocking it. But I know for sure for bighorn sheep, you have to apply it on your fourth year application. I believe it's your fourth year or third year. However, that comes, but I was thinking like, wow, what if I drew for that? Man, that would suck because that's gonna cost a lot of money.
Yeah,
but I don't think I will
take out a home equity loan to pay for that guy,
and then I'll probably draw for like every other state, because that's how it happened 2 years ago. It was like, I think I got lucky and drew for the Dakotas, and then I was like, oh, cool. And then bear tag like 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh my God. And then I had city hunts that I got in on, and man, it was stupid busy. And I probably should have done what you did. thinking back on it, just deny the bear tag and try again the next year.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So what else do you got coming up? You talked last episode a little bit about your shiny object. So how's that going in regards to the field shooting and all that kind of stuff?
I've got one arrow prepped for field shooting. it's going to be scramble. And again, I think we've said this before too, just like, you know, being like in the business of what we do, I feel like we never set aside time for ourselves. I play with arrows and strings and rests and things all day. And when I get home, I'm just like, honestly, it sounds weird. I used to hate it, but I would rather do like housework. like I'm done with the archery stuff for the day. But yeah, I need to set up arrows, and I'm just like, for target stuff, I want to be extremely, like, I'm extremely particular. Like hunting, I'm pretty particular. Like I still want straightest arrow and all these things, but like a little more lenient. Cause I'm like, well, it's me. I'm not going to shoot anything. So, you know, what are the odds? But at the same time, like, you know, take out the question of equipment failure or, you know, problems. So, you know, I go pretty far for hunting, but like target, I'm like way down rabbit holes of precise everything. So
yeah,
I've got one arrow. I didn't cut anything else. I'm just like, you know, playing with different stiffness of the spine, different break off points and pin
break
knocks.
Off points on your glue in inserts or glue in field points.
Glue in field points for my target arrow.
And so by that you're talking about, so you've got different sections that you can break off and change the weight.
Yeah. So total weight is a 140 grain, field point, and it's like 3 inches long, maybe. And there's sections throughout it that you can cut down. So if you want 132 grains, and that's just perfect for, you know, whatever you're chasing, spine, FOC, whatever it might be, you can cut it down and shave it down to 132. But, I don't know. Right now, I just weighed it today, so that one arrow just was completed, and it's 400 grains on the nuts. And I'm like, that's cool, but 400 grains is a 60-pound bow and 80 yards, not very forgiving. As far as I'm thinking, anyway, I'd like to have a pretty short sight tape, but it's tough to do with 60-pound limitations on target rigs. So,
oh, that's interesting. I didn't know there was a limitation.
Well, at least that's what I'm going to keep myself to.
Maximum?
I'm not sure for like this field archery stuff is brand new to me. So maybe you can run a 70-pound rig.
Okay.
Probably can, but I'm just using what I can use for USA archery and then indoor stuff. Cause like USA, you have to be below 60 pounds.
Okay.
Max. So, or 60-pound max. Nothing over. So I'm not going to play around with a 70-pound rig. I mean, I could run maybe my hunting rig, but I want to play around with full on competition setup. So I'm like trying to play that game of spine, FOC. I mean, I might not even care as long as it flies straight and is light, but I still want to know, like, I'm still playing with veins. Like, I got one arrow, man. We'll see how it flies.
I was just thinking about something I never really considered with those break-off points is not only are you reducing the weight of the point, but you're also decreasing your spine too with every chunk you break off.
Yeah, because you're taking away from the center.
Yeah, because that those break-off points that go into the shaft, you know, basically eliminate the flex in that portion of the arrow. So then it would, so your stiffness would actually go up because you're effectively shortening the length of the of the flexible portion of the shaft. So
and
that's interesting.
Now
to think
I'm questioning
about
myself on the spine choice I did, because I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like when I did it on the software I was using to roughly have a perfect spine, this one would have been a little too weak, but then now this one's a little too stiff. And that's why I might just say, forget the spine. I'm just shooting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see.
That's usually where it goes. I mean, you can sit and crunch numbers and give yourself the analysis paralysis all you want.
And that's
it really comes down to just putting it together and then testing a couple different versions. And yeah. Ultimately, when it comes down to it, you just need to be hitting X's consistently.
Right. And that's the biggest thing I guess I'm concerned about for like this sort of thing is, again, mostly having a forgiving setup without having that sight tape that's super long. And, you know, now it... 1 yard off or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, granted field archery, it's all marked, but you know, your angles and everything else, like I'd rather it just be easier if yeah. I have a lighter weight arrow mm-hmm. and I can make it work. Mm-hmm. I'm doing that. So
these field archery competitions. Now you have, if I remember correctly, you've got multiple different stations, right? So you've Correct. Got some long range stuff. You've got, is this, are there situations where you're doing what's called a fan?
I believe, yeah, there's still fans for the target version. There is a hunter fan as well, which I think is just a little shorter, but yeah, there's like, you can shoot from, or yeah, it's four different stations, but there's like A, B, C, and D, and you'll start at like, say you start at D, that's the farthest right target.
Mm-hmm.
In this scenario, and it could be a vertical target or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd shoot there, and then if you go on to the next station, then now you're A, that sounds of it, and you shoot that one. And if that's, I don't know, you can, in one scenario, you might be shooting the top target, then the next, your bottom. Kind of crazy stuff yeah. to me. I still don't understand it fully, but I just know you rotate throughout that fan,
mm-hmm.
and then you pick up and go, and it's just like, I'm thinking that might be the hardest part, honestly.
Well,
I've shot a lot of those targets and it's like, it's pretty easy, but
yeah.
The hardest part is probably stamina with the sun and the baking sand where this shoot is at. So,
and so when you do these fan shoots and so for the people who aren't familiar with this, right? Like you said, you've got, you're at a target, but you have multiple locations that you shoot from and you're shooting at a different spot at each location that you're shooting from, right?
Correct.
And then, so do you shoot all of them back to back? Like, so when you guys are rotating through shooters, you shoot all, like say there's four shooting locations in that particular fan. Do you shoot all four spots and then you step away and then the next guy comes in and shoots all four?
That part I'm not totally sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I mean, what I just said is what I've been told, and I'm like, all right. So I'm not sure.
Okay.
I would assume
good.
So.
Those are good questions.
Yeah.
I'm just, because of course, you know, again, all the more reason to have all of your arrows very consistent weights right. and, you know, everything being very close. Because it's not like you're just going to be, like some 3Ds, you know, you can carry around a couple of arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you need for the whole thing, right? But when you're shooting these fans, if you're shooting four or five targets, you got to have all those arrows and you want them to all be with, you know, within the closest weight and everything you possibly can in order to make sure you perform well.
Right. And I'm, you know, too, like indoor archery is more my thing. Like mm-hmm. I don't shoot, like I'll shoot 3D shoots for fun, like I guess with a hunting rig, but I've never shot like field archery or whatever else, nothing outdoors. Mm-hmm. I've always just been like paper all the way
yeah.
indoors. So this is my first time stepping outside of the target bow.
Yeah.
So I'm sure some swear words will be said. More about the cams having sand blown into them, at
yeah.
least at this place.
I think it's awesome. It's something that I've always wanted to get into. And I feel like when I was looking at doing it or getting into it, it was kind of becoming a dying pastime. Like it didn't seem like there was a lot of people. I couldn't really find anybody that wanted to do it.
I think that's still true.
And so it's really cool that you found a group of people that you can do it with. And I wish I could join you. And so, I mean, maybe someday I'll be able to jump back in and do that kind of stuff, but that's really cool. I think it's awesome that you're doing that.
Yeah. It sounds like at least what Eric was saying, one of our guys out back, he shoots, you know, everything, around the country. Indoor, outdoor, all that stuff. But he was saying the last time he shot this shoot, there was like hardly anyone there.
Yeah.
And I remember like maybe it's probably 10 years ago. It seemed like a lot of people were there. So I'm like, that's kind of depressing because it's fun to me.
Yeah.
Like when I just go over to Rapids and just screw around outside, dude, it's so fun just different angles, elevations, all that sort of thing. And plus you're shooting 80 yard bombs.
That's what I was going to say. It's the long range stuff that's really appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the one of the things that I really loved about, I've only been to the Western Trail shoot in Redding once, but that's everything. You got shots at 3 yards. You got, the Bigfoot shot that's, I don't even know how many yards, 100 plus. And, and then that final target, you're shooting at two, fighting bulls and bull elk. And that's a long bomb too. That's the shot where you see a lot of the pros, taking their final shots. And I think that's where they do their tiebreakers and stuff like that. But
is it a hard shoot? I sound so ignorant, but I want to shoot it so bad. 'Cause I'm like, dude, that looks so easy.
It's definitely difficult. I mean, for sure, it's hard, and it's obviously marked
distance, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously if you're just there for fun, you really shoot from wherever you want, to a certain degree. But I like the shotgun start kind of a situation. You're starting on a very specific target and you just go through the course and everybody's out shooting all at the same time. So like if you're a vendor, you basically are either out shooting or you're doing nothing because there's nobody in the vendor area because they're all out shooting. What I mean? So like during those times, you're pretty much just kind of twiddling your thumbs. So you're either just sitting there doing nothing or you're shooting. It's just really cool. And you're rubbing shoulders with pros and all that kind of stuff. But I do remember we had a group of Hoyt shooters in front of us and we coined them Team Letdown because I think you're allowed 3 letdowns and every single one of them would let down every single allotted amount of times.
Dude.
And it was, I'm like, come on, this is ridiculous, So, but, it's for all the cheddar, so I guess you gotta do what you gotta do. It's usually pretty windy.
Yeah.
And you're in the rolling hills, and that's a fun shoot. I should definitely do it sometime.
I'd like to shoot it. We'll go next year.
Yeah. So, we have a pro staffer that sits a booth there almost every year, and Ears and I, that's what brought me there, is Ears and I sat in a booth 1 year, and then I think he did 2 or 3 years before that. So, definitely a fun shoot to get to. For me, I guess this summer I just have – one tack that I'm going to go to Terry Peak in South Dakota.
Total Archery Challenge.
Yep. Total Archery Challenge. And, it's a blast there. It's always a ton of fun going to those and, just the people that you talk to. And I love just the community and everybody's just super friendly and there's nobody, dogging on other people, I might make fun of some of the people running around in sub alpine, shooting their bow, but
practice being stealthy.
But yeah, I guess if you want to be in the moment, really that's what it is, at least for us, we don't take it too seriously. We're just all about hitting foam and trying to have fun and tuning your bow and getting it set up. And I can't tell you every single year there's multiple people and I won't say any names because I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but there's some pretty big name people out there, that they literally show up and they're putting a sight tape on in the parking lot and they're, getting their bow tuned up as best they can up at the shooting range and stuff like that. Like people just come rolling in with whatever they got, start shooting and nobody cares, and my buddy Rick, he says it best. And that is, you don't remember the good shots as much as you remember the misses.
Right.
Like,
and those misses, hopefully you're laughing and joking
about it. It's just, last year there was one where Sam Soholt literally shot his arrow through a tree, kind of between the bark and the tree itself, and still hit the target. And we were just like, what? No way. It was crazy. And just those kinds of things, make it so much fun and just a lot of cool people.
It was because he's running our rest and strings, right?
Probably.
Yeah. High correlation.
Yeah,
there.
Most likely.
That's rare, though, for an archery community to come together and not just be always bumping heads.
I'd be lying if I said there isn't some people there that are maybe take it way too serious or whatever. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But that's what we're there for. We're just there to have fun. And you know, it's a lot of times these are people that we only see one time a year, you know, and it's at the Total Archery Challenge. So it's a huge event. So I'm super excited and looking forward to that. I wish I was able to get to more events, but I'll do one.
And yeah. And
that'll be it.
And that one's probably pretty nice because you're in a hilly area.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming there's some good breeze going through there too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you're probably not dealing with too many mosquitoes. I always think about that. Like the last one they had, where is it? Maine or Vermont or something?
Vermont, I think, was the last one. Yeah.
Dude, all I could think is like the mosquitoes have to be insane. Like I would not shoot that. Sorry guys, but like I couldn't find, like, I want them to definitely have more shoots. Like I guess Terry Peak probably is not that far of a drive,
mm-hmm.
but still it's kind of a poke for us in Minnesota. But I'm just like, that'd be cool to have one like Wisconsin, Northern Wisconsin, or, you know, the UP.
Yeah.
But I know they already have one in Michigan and they're probably not going to do another one there. So
yeah,
it'd be cool though. But yeah, that's, I'm out for like mid May shoots. Forget it. The mosquitoes are not, I'm not a fan of that.
I can't say, I mean, there's gotta be some out there at Terry Peak, but I can't say I've ever been overrun by them.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't ever had an issue, you know, I don't know. They don't really like my blood to begin with. So nice. Not like my poor wife. Holy mackerel.
I get torn up too.
She just gets tore up with mosquitoes, but,
R100 is, coming back here, this summer.
Where are they going to be?
I'm
sure they'll be in Sparta, but
the Horse and Hunt Club in Prior Lake.
Prior Lake, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
July 15th and 16th. So I'm debating on that one.
But that might be one we think about.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's a fun shoot, but it's like 100 targets is just, it's just too much. I mean, well,
I think it's just the right amount, but it's just, I don't know, kind of too laid back. I don't know how's TAC? Is that like,
it's pretty laid back. I mean, you got to have, you know what I mean? Like, depending on the course you want to get on, you know, there's some courses that are, you know, more physically demanding, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like kind of up and down, you know, hiking around, stuff like that. And you kind of, you can choose, you know what I mean? They'll tell you which courses are more difficult and which ones are more demanding. You know, they've got a course for the kids. They've got some that are a little easier to navigate, you know, and, you know, the R100s are, it's more of like a marathon type of a deal where you're just taking a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's been years where we've tried to scramble through and do 100 targets one day and do it again a second day.
Holy cow.
And we've done it, but, you know, just trying to do, you know, cause most of your shots are all, you know, they're fairly close. You know, they've got a big giraffe and they've got like, they used to have a big alien, but I don't think they have that target anymore. But so some of those larger targets, elephant target, those ones, they push them out to some distance, but for the most part, it's a lot of shorter shots.
It's way more laid back, and yeah. kind of forgot it. It is shorter shots where TAC, you've got some pokes.
Oh yeah.
And I think the other cool thing that TAC does is, in a way, for those guys that can't go, but to me, outside looking in, never being to a TAC, is it kind of like, it gives me the vibes of like an ATA, a mini ATA, because you have the different vendors that can pop up and it's just like everyone's together and it seems like kind of just a hangout thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would, it's less of the,
well, I'm thinking like there's no dealers for the most part, or not a lot of dealers. I mean, sure, some might go to TACs, but like,
unless they're, at least just if they're a vendor. Yeah.
Yeah. At least like general public can come up and see like a vendor
mm-hmm.
that, you know, like ATA is basically dealers only.
Yep.
And if you have 5 followers on YouTube, welcome in.
But yeah, no, TAC is, it's a ton of fun, you know, and like you said, it's for everybody. And there is, you know, they usually have like some sort of, like, you know, RMEF always has a party one night, and then depending on the location, I know Warrior Rising over the last couple of years, that's a nonprofit organization, they've been there participating, and so they'll usually have a party, you know, and they raffle off a bunch of stuff. I remember last year Sam won an AR-15.
What?
At Terry Peak, yeah. And so
they, you know, just a ton of cool prizes and everything like that. You know, you put in, I don't know what it is, you put in $20 or something like that, and you get a, like a, it's like a knockoff Yeti mug that's got Warrior Rising etched into it, you know, so you, for $20, you get the mug plus you get an entry, or maybe it was more than that. It might've been $50 or something like that. But, so yeah, so they usually have those parties, you know, the RMEF one, they auction off a bunch of stuff, you know, a bunch of donations from companies, manufacturers, all that kind of stuff. And there's usually a pretty good crowd there. Like last year, Aaron Snyder, Kifaru was out there. John Barklow was out there. They did a seminar on, cause they, John sells like a survival kit or like a possibles bag that's got like a bunch of stuff in there. And so they did a seminar on, you know, survival and, you know, certain situations. And so that was pretty cool. And, you know, and then of course they've got the shoot for the truck and a bunch of different novelty shoots, stuff like that. So you can win all kinds of cool prizes, and
you can see Chris B.
If you go to that. Some of them, he's never at, he doesn't go to Terry Peak. But he's, I think he's usually at the PA one.
Definitely the Michigan one.
And then, yeah, I'm not really too sure. And Dudley doesn't go to South Dakota either. But I think he's at pretty much all the other ones.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what it is with Terry Peak. But and then I'm trying to think of who else was out there last year. Sam was out there with us. And then, you know, just a bunch of the manufacturers too, you know, Badass Outdoor Gear, Kelly and Russ from Badass, they go to every single event. So they're traveling carnies all summer long.
Jeez.
You know, I think in Dials usually they're out there. You get, like I said, you got Kifaru, Yeti's always there, Black Rifle Coffee, Leupold, Vapor Trail used to be, hopefully we can get back again, but it's, there's something about going there and sitting in a booth all weekend where I'd rather just go there and have fun and shoot and not have to worry about a booth. So, but yeah, so that's what's going on there. What else? Anything else coming up here? I mean, we've got some pretty cool stuff with Vapor Trail that we're not really at liberty to discuss just yet this minute, but we've got some pretty cool stuff coming out soon.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for all of that.
I was going to say, this is roughly about the calm before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I might have one or two podcasts left in me before busy season is here. And
before we get busy and then I ask you to do an episode and you want to pull all your hair out.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'll just give you a look of like, do I have to? Yeah.
So, yeah, you can find the Range Podcast on Instagram and on Facebook, as well as Vapor Trail and Stokerized Stabilizers. Make sure you head on over and check this episode out on our Vapor Trail YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe, give us a like, and hit that bell so you can be up to date on all things archery. And with that,
we're going to pack up our bows and hit the range. Peace.
Vapor Trail is now offering an exclusive discount to the Range Podcast listeners. Enter promo code TRP15, that's TRP15, at checkout for 15% off VTX bowstrings and Vapor Trail and Stokerized branded t-shirts, hats, and other gear.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.